Good evening again, brothers and sisters. It is now time that we might begin our evening service. You could be turning to page 173 for our opening song, and I'll read the announcements. Our most kind and most loving Father, we desire to come before Thee this night to give You thanks for the many blessings of life. Father, we're thankful where You hear our prayers, and as we have come before Thee from time to time seeking that You might hear our cries in behalf of our loved ones, as well as that You would prepare others that they might take their place in the ministry. And, oh, Father, all these things in which we petition Thee and you hear us and You care for our needs. And, Father, we're grateful for those things. We're thankful for Your love and long-suffering with us. And we ask, Father, You might forgive us and where we have sinned before Thee. Now, Father, again, we come before Thee that You might guide and direct our brother as he stands before us this night. Give him the words and the direction that he would present those things to us that would be pleasing in Thy sight, according to Thy perfect will. And I pray, Father, that You might prepare our hearts and our minds that we might be able to receive those things in gladness. Now, Father, we do wait upon Thee now. We do ask and invite Thy Spirit to be here, to lead and direct, and to bring comfort and peace within our hearts. And we ask these things and give You thanks always, Father, in the name of Thy Son, even Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's turn to 130 for our next song. Well, this is our last service of a full day, so I hope and pray that you've come prepared to hear the Word of God, and I will turn over the podium to our brother, Hubert Yates.
Thank you, Gordon. Good evening. It's good to be here this evening to see the workings of the Lord and to recognize that indeed that He has a called ministry. It's not something that's just by accident, or it's called of the Lord and directed by His Holy Spirit. I've got a lot to try to go through, and I might not make it all. I'm going to start in the 15th chapter of St. John. It's a familiar scripture. It says, I am the true vine. I'm going to start in the first verse. And my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. You know, that's important for us to believe. That every branch that doesn't bear fruit is taken away. Every branch that bears fruit is purged. He purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit. And now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine. This is the Lord speaking. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. That fruit that he's talking about isn't a wild fruit that we read sometimes in the scripture. The fruit that he's talking about is a spiritual, righteous, holy fruit. A fruit that's meet for the souls of the children of men. And I'm going to cover some things tonight, and I'm going to cover things that has to do with the Spirit. It has to do with the spiritual life of the children of men. And that fruit that he's talking about that we should bear, we know that the scriptures tell us that you'll know them by their fruits. That you would recognize whether they have that desire we heard this day to walk according to the gospel of Christ, to walk according to the standard that Jesus has given us. Or we have a desire within our hearts to rebel and bear, well, maybe part fruit, maybe part good. And you know, That doesn't work. That doesn't work. In the Lord, it's either His fruit or it's the fruit of the evil one, the enemy, to the souls of the children of men. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burnt. If you abide in me, and in my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. We have come to the knowledge many times that the gospel of Christ is like a puzzle. And it takes each piece to make a true picture. There's not part of it that we can set aside. There's not part of it that we decide we don't want to use. There's not part of it that we decide that doesn't affect us and it doesn't have anything to do with me, but it does that guy over there, though, and that girl over there. We can't set them aside. It's the gospel of Christ. It's the gospel to the salvation of the souls of the children of men, of you and I. And there's no other way. The Scripture tells us there's no other way, nor name, nor means, whereby we can be saved other than through Jesus Christ, our Lord. There's no other way. And so it's important that we realize that this individual, it tells you here, the Lord says that if we're not abiding and if we're not bearing fruit, He says that we're pruned off of that. We're pruned off the nectar of life. We're pruned off of the sap of life that generates in your heart the desire to be obedient, to have that faith, to have that hope and that love, that you're taken away from those things that you have to have. But tonight, I have a desire to bring a hope in a way, and yet to bring to you the gospel, something that is essential for us to apply most diligently. I'm going to speak to you tonight on repentance. What do we mean, repent? What's the definition of repentance? I'm going to read a few. Webster's Dictionary says, to turn from sin and dedicate oneself to the amendment of one's life. That you amend your life, you change it, you alter it. And isn't that what the gospel says? Isn't that what the Apostle Paul says? That when you enter in and you are baptized in the name of Christ, he says you put on Christ. And he says you become a new creature, a new man. Your thoughts, your actions, the desires of your heart are entirely different. Are entirely different than they were before. Because you have chosen to follow Christ. You have chosen to reach forth and hold His hand and be led of Him. And not of man or your own wisdom and the carnal mind of man. But of those things that has been taught in love and compassion, that you and I would know Him and know His Father and know how to follow them. That we don't have to guess. And you know, there's so many things that people say, well, you know, we don't fully understand that. In most things, in those things that's essential for your soul's welfare, the gospel is plain and pure. I'm going to read another. It says, repenting for misdeeds or morals, shortcomings. The Bible Dictionary says, a change of mind. You've changed from the things of the world and those that draws of the world to the change you to Christ. Those things that prepare you for the world to come. Those things that prepare you to be able to live with Him and His Father from all eternity to all eternity. There's a change there. That change comes in your life. Change in your hearts of men from sin and toward God. It says here to have a genuine sorrow towards God on account of sin. The Apostle Paul calls that the godly sorrow. You can read that in the 2 Corinthians in the 7th chapter in the 10th verse. He refers to it as a godly sorrow. In other words, you feel bad. You have remorse in your heart because you have come to the understanding that you are violating the law of the Holy God, that you're violating the law of Christ. You're violating the law that God gave Christ to teach you and I and to live before us, that we would know how to have eternal life. And this life is so short. This life is so short compared to all eternity and all eternity. And you know, the Lord asked us, He said, what would you give in exchange for your soul? He says, if you gain the whole world, a lot of times we're just worried about monies. We get caught up into the world and we're worried about everything. He says, if you gain the whole world and lose your soul, what good is it unto you? What have you gained? Nothing. We've lost. We've lost. An inward repugnance to sin necessarily followed by actual forsaking of it. That it's something that we have a desire to forsake and to put out of our life. That we don't want to be part of that. We don't want to be part of what we've been. We want to separate ourselves. We want to be like the Lord says of His apostles. He says, though they're in the world, they're not of the world. That we don't want to be drawn in by the enemy of our soul. And so caught up in the world that we're so in a trap that we can't loosen that trap and turn ourselves loose to follow the footprints of our Lord. But that we're caught up into those things and that we so often remain in it for so long that it's too late. And so, you know, as our brother read tonight, as Brother Brian read there tonight, of how our young brother was to be ordained. Did you take notice that it said that he was to be ordained to preach repentance? And don't for every moment ever come to the realization that that's not essential. Or for us to look at our lives and see what we can do to walk ever closer to God. Or if we find ourselves going short and not doing what He has complied and taught us to do and the things that He's told us, that we can change them and alter our life wherein that we walk justly before God. That we walk justly before Him. I want to go to Acts, the 26th chapter. I'm going to read the 18th through the 20th verse. I got a lot of scriptures here, and I couldn't even touch the subject in reality, for the scriptures are full of the fact that we must repent, and if we don't, we're in trouble. The 26th chapter, I'm going to read the 18th and the 19th verses there, 18th through the 20th. He says, to open their eyes and to return them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now this is the Apostle Paul talking when the king told him that he could stand and speak when he was a prisoner. And he began to speak. Whereupon, O king Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them at Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. That's the fruits. That they should repent and turn unto God and do works that is essential for repentance. It's important. It's important. I know that some of us walk closer than the others and one thing and another. The Scriptures tells me that if you say you're without sin, He said if you deceive yourself and the truth is not in you. You know, I can look in the mirror and say the same thing. That it's a constant walk. It's something that He tells us that we have to endure to the end. If we want to be saved, that we have to continue to wrestle or to fight, to challenge, and to come out against Satan, the enemy to our soul. It's not something that we can just go along for a while like we do on a bicycle, and you ride along and then you quit pedaling and you just coast and coast and coast and coast, and then you pedal a little bit and you coast and coast. You don't have time to coast in the law of God. We don't have time to coast. It's a constant effort for the carnal mind of man and for the things that we desire sometimes of the world. It's a constant effort that we do not coast, but that we learn and seek. You know, it's important that we know the gospel of Christ. How do you repent if you don't know the gospel of Christ? You know, I've heard a lot of people say a lot of things, but you know, like over in the 16th chapter of Mark, starting in the 15th verse, He says, "Go ye out in all the world." And what were they to do? They were to preach the gospel to every creature. They were to preach the gospel to every creature. How do you know what to repent of if you don't know the gospel? If you don't study, if you don't seek, if you don't knock, if you don't ask? How do you know? How do you know when you're violating the holy law? How do you know when you're treading on thin ice and you're about ready to fall through? How do you know these things unless you reach out and seek and ask and knock that the door will be open so that you know the law, so that you can recognize that's something that I didn't know before, but it's something that I have to change in my life? That's important. That's important that we continue to study and to seek and to ask, that we might have an understanding of the mysteries of God and have an understanding of those things so that we know what we need to repent of, to draw ourselves closer to God and to have Him to be our director, to have Him to follow and to walk after His ways. That's how you know. That's how you know. How do you know to pray? How do you know that He hears your prayers? How do you know He does these things? Because you read them. Because you did, as our brother said today, you had that faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. But He's a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. We come to that knowledge. We come to that understanding so that we know. And we can be directed by that power. I'm going to go to Matthew's, the third chapter of Matthew's. This is these verses are going to be well known to you. And there in the third chapter of Matthew's, I'm going to read the 7th through the 10th. "But when He saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to His baptism, He said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruit meet for repentance." That you have to order your life for repentance. As we go along this evening, you're going to find out it's not good enough just to say, "Well, you know, I repent and I'm sorry about that." He says that you repent with real intent of heart. What a difference. That means that you're really sorrowful for the things that has been done or where you have violated God's law and not kept respect for Him or whatever the case may be. That you do it with real intent of heart. That you really are sorrowful for those things. It's not just a fly-by-night proposition. It's something that's very serious because it has to do with the welfare of our soul. It has to do with the welfare of our soul. Let's go ahead here. He says, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to rise up a children unto Abraham. You know, we can't go out into the world and say, hey, you know, I'm a member of the Church of Christ, and so I can go ahead and do these things, but you guys aren't to do that. That's a no-no. No. No. It's like he said, you know, he can raise up the very stones to worship and to honor him. It's something that is serious to you and I. Most serious. He says here, he says, and now also the axe is laid upon the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. You know, brothers and sisters, he's talking to us. He's talking to us. We can't say, well, we're a member of the Church of Christ, so this is all right, or we can say this or say that. He's talking to us. He's talking to us. He's saying to us, you bear good fruit. You set an example. I want you to bear a light that will glorify my Father, which is in heaven. That's what he's saying to us. Not occasionally or not once in a while, but that you take up your cross daily and come and follow me. That daily we come with the desire of our heart to be obedient unto our God and to follow after him. That daily we realize that we are in a battle for life. We're in a battle for life. You know, we have some brothers and some sisters that walked the Grand Canyon in one day, down one side and out the north side. And you know, they're sore. They're sore. Their legs are sore. You know, I wouldn't be able to make it. But they did it. And they're sore. And you know, you and I might think we're sore. But we have a battle that's going to last until the day that God calls us home. And that's for eternal life with Him and with His Son. There's not going to be any time to set aside, to decide I can't go, I'm tired, so I'm not going, I'm not going to this, I'm not going to that. We put on Christ and we have to wear Him. And we have to keep the gospel of Christ. It's not something that we can just say, well, okay, you know, that's a, you know, it's not important today, we'll pick it up tomorrow. You can't. If you decide you're going to pick it up tomorrow, Satan's already at work. It's a moment by moment. It's the very fact that everyone in this room within the sound of my voice, including myself right now, he has breathed within us the breath of life. If he was to call that breath of life home, people would be sad and crying, and we'd be holding a funeral service. We have to realize that we are subject to him even for the breath of life that we breathe. Even for the breath of life that we breathe. And we can't fool ourselves. Or we might fool ourselves and say, nah, you know, I'm okay. And you know, and some people say, oh, no, heck no. You know, there was no creation. That was an evolution or that was this or that. No. It was all done by the power of the Almighty God, is why you and I have a breath and an opportunity tonight to walk closer to Him, to choose to follow Him, an opportunity tonight to repent and to have our house in order according to the law of God. Is repentance important? I'd like to turn over to page 158 in the Book of Mormon. And there on page 158, I'm going to read 77 and 78. He says, "For I say unto you that as many of the Gentiles as will repent are the covenant people of the Lord, and as many of the Jews as will not repent shall be cast off. For the Lord," I want you to listen close to this, because I'm here to tell you tonight that I didn't write these words. But I was called and sent to teach them. "For the Lord covenanteth with none, save it be with them that repent and believe in His Son, who is the Holy One of Israel." He covenants with none, save those who repent and believe in His Son, the Holy One of Israel. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Pretty direct. Pretty direct. Let's go over to page 214. There in Mosiah, the first chapter, I want to read there 79 through 85. "And now I say unto you, my brethren, that after ye have known and have been taught all these things," after you've known and been taught, is there someone in this room tonight that has not been taught? If there is, I beg of you to get in touch with your shepherds that they might teach you, that you can understand the law of God and what is essential in your life for your soul's welfare. "If ye should transgress and go contrary to that which hath been spoken, that ye do withdraw yourselves from the Spirit of the Lord, that ye may have no place in you to guide you in wisdom's path, that ye may be blessed, prosper, and preserved. I say unto you, that the man that doeth this, the same cometh out in open rebellion against God." You know, sometimes, do you feel like you're in open rebellion against God? No, we don't want to. We want to shut that out. We don't want to say we are. Now, maybe somebody else over there, Charlie across the street, or this guy here or there, sometimes we don't want to say that we're in open rebellion against God. But you know, our fruits might bear witness that we're in open rebellion against God, depending on the fruit that we bear. "Therefore, he listeth to obey the evil spirit and becometh an enemy to all righteousness. Therefore, the Lord has no place in him, for he dwelleth not in unholy temples. Therefore, if that man repenteth not and remaineth and dieth an enemy to God, the demand of divine justice doth awaken his mortal soul to the lively sense of his own guilt, which doth cause him to shrink from the presence of the Lord, and doth fill his breast with guilt and pain and anguish, which is like an unquenchable fire, whose flames ascendeth up forever and ever." That's pretty serious business, I'd say. I would say that's pretty serious business. That we need to have that fire quenched through our Lord Jesus Christ. That we need to have that fire quenched because we have studied and sought the Word, and we have the greatest desire to apply it to our life. And that where we do fall short, we can go to God and ask Him, "Help me. You know I'm weak. Lift me up. Help me, that I might overcome and be what you would want me to be." How important that is. I want to go now over to 108. I On page 217, he says, "But woe, woe unto him that knoweth that he rebelleth against God, for salvation come to none such, except it be through repentance and faith on the Lord Jesus Christ." That it doesn't come without repentance. And isn't that what he tells them to go out and preach repentance and baptism? A sign of washing you clean. A sign that you're telling the Lord and you're telling your friends and your neighbors and those of the body of Christ that you have chosen to put on Christ and follow Him. That you have chosen to listen to that still small voice or that Holy Spirit or that Holy Ghost that will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Isn't that really what we want? Isn't that really what we want? Or do we really have a desire to shut him out because we don't want to hear that because he's going to tell us not to do something that we want to do? How many times does he get into our life that way? How many times does he want to... that he's trying to help us, and yet we turn out that voice and we want to go our own way and do our own thing? How many times? I want to go to Alma, the third chapter. I'm going to read the 57 through 58. That's on page 317. I want you to know that the Scriptures is full of what is necessary for us to do for repentance. And you know, it's important that we study them and seek them so that we understand them. I couldn't even begin to touch all the Scriptures that has to do with the welfare of our soul when it comes to repent and to go the way that the Lord would have us to do. I want to read the 57 and 58. He says, "Behold, he sendeth an invitation unto all men, for the arms of mercy are extended towards them, and he saith, repent, and I will receive you." His arms today is extended in his mercy. And if you listen, he's saying, repent, so I may receive you. Repent, so I may receive you. "Yea, he that cometh unto me, and ye shall partake of the fruit of the life, of the tree of life, yea, ye shall eat and drink of the bread and the waters of life freely." How important that is. Isn't that what we say we want? We don't want to be like the Book of Mormon tells us of those that went forth and held on to the Word of God, the rod of iron, and they went to the tree of life, and they partook. They partook of the fruit of love of God. And then they fell away and were lost because of the mocking finger of the world. Does the world mock you? Does it cause you to lose what you know? Does it cause you to lose the hope that you have? Does it cause you to pull you away? Or are you steadfast and sure in the gospel of Christ? Are you strong? Do you hold steadfast and sure? Are you endeavoring to hold there? I want to go over to page 321, and I'm going to read 108. "I speak by the way of command unto you that belong to the church." Uh-oh. Now we're getting down close to home now. "That belong to the church. And unto those who do not belong to the church. I speak by the way of invitation, saying, come and be baptized unto repentance, that ye also may be partakers of the fruit of the tree of life." An invitation. An invitation to the church. An invitation to those that are not of the church. That invitation is to you and I tonight, that we can come. That we have that right to come. We have that right to come to Him and seek that repentance, to seek that guidance and that understanding. We have that right. You know, there was a young man ordained here to be a teacher. And you know, a long time ago, I was ordained to be a teacher. And I realized that I couldn't teach until I was first taught. How do you teach something that you don't know? How do you tell somebody how to do something if you don't know it yourself? How do you convey it to them? Or how can you convey it to them so they can understand if you're just sort of mediocre or, well, do you think so? Or, well, you're not quite sure. You know, it's important that that Spirit teaches us. That gives us the power to speak and to teach with authority that comes from God, not from man. The Spirit of remembrance. That we might be able to teach those things that we've been taught by the Spirit. And to edify the souls of the children of men. I want to go to 399 in your Book of Mormon. And there I'm going to read on 399, I'm going to read 103 and 104. Yea, he that repenteth and exercise faith and bringeth forth good works and prayeth continually without ceasing, unto such it is given to know the mysteries of God. Yea, unto such it shall be given to reveal things which never hath been revealed. Yea, and it shall be given unto such to bring thousands of souls to repentance. Even as it has been given unto us to bring those of our brothers to repentance. You know how important it is that in Ammon's talk, and when he was among the Lamanites, that he just tells you. You know, the Scriptures brings these things out complete and open and just. And you know, it's easier for us to understand. I'd like to go over to page 39 in your Book of Mormon. There in page 39, I'm going to read in 1 Nephi there. I'm going to read 210 through 212. And it came to pass that the angel spake unto me, Nephi, saying, Thou hast beheld that the Gentiles repent, it shall be well with them. That if the Gentiles repent, it shall be well with them. And thou also beholdest concerning the covenant of the Lord unto the house of Israel. And thou also hast heard, to whosoever repenteth not must perish. You know, that's pretty strong words. That whosoever repenteth not must perish. You know, that sort of puts the burden on our back, because we're responsible for our lives and we have a right to choose. We have a right to do those things, and we have that right. We have a right to repent. We have a right to apply the gospel of Christ to our lives. We have a right to do that. Or we have a right to rebel. And that right to rebel we'll have until God calls us home. And then you no longer have a right. Then it's Christ's right to make the decision to what happens to your soul. And he tells us that that decision will be made upon the fruits in which you bear and those things. And he says that mercy will not override justice. You know, we better think about that. I know that the Lord is loving and merciful and forgiving. But he says mercy will not override justice. That we've got to think and ask ourselves, where are we? What path are we following? Are we tired and wore down from the world? Or are we encouraged and uplifted and full of whim, vigor, and vitality that you get from God and from His Son? I'm going to read on page 26 in the Book of Mormon. I'm going to read 28 probably to 32. He says, and the way, I'm going to read 27. He says, for he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now we're going to hear the way. And the way is prepared from the foundation of the world, if it so be that they repent and come unto him. For he that diligently seeketh shall find, and the mysteries of God shall be unfolded unto them by the power of the Holy Ghost, as well in this time as in times of old, and as well in times of old as in the times to come. Wherefore, the course of the Lord is one eternal round. That this promise that we're reading about, it covers you and I today. It covered those in the back. It covered those at the time. It covers those today. It covers those in the future. That the promise of God, that he doesn't change. And if he doesn't change, he cries out unto us, repent. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that's something that we need to do. We need to do just exactly that. We need to do those things and put it in order. And you say to yourself, well, you know, well, just how important is that? How important is it? And, you know, for us to repent, is it really that important? Isn't there other things that we can do? I'm going to go over to page 556 in the Book of Mormon, and I'm going to start, in the 71st verse. He says, oh, remember, remember, my sons, the words which King Benjamin spake unto his people. Yea, remember that there is no other way nor means whereby man can be saved, only through the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, who shall come. Yea, remember that he cometh to redeem the world. And remember also the words of Amulek spake to Zizrim in the city of Ammonihah. For he saith unto him that the Lord surely shall come and redeem his people, but that he should not come to redeem them in their sins. Wow. Uh-oh. Now he's getting down close to home. But to redeem them from their sins. And he hath power given unto him from the Father to redeem them from their sins because of repentance. Because of repentance. Now I want you to listen closely to these next verses. Therefore, he hath sent his angels to declare the tidings of the conditions of repentance. It was so important, brothers and sisters, that he sent his angels to declare the tidings of repentance. How important it is that he sent his angels for that. Which bringeth unto the power of the Redeemer, unto the salvation of their souls. How important that is. That he came and he sent angels. He sent angels to bring forth the needs and the things about repentance. He sent them for that. I want to go to Acts, the 17th chapter in your Bible. There in the 17th chapter, I want to read the 30th verse. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. He's telling them, you know, you had idols and you had this and you had that and you had all these things, but he says, you know, he says God isn't winking at that. That he has sent forth his commandments. He has sent forth his commandments, and that he said all men everywhere to repent. Let's go to the third chapter of Acts while we're here. There in the third chapter of Acts, I want to read the 19th verse. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the time of the refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Repent, that our sins would be blotted out at the time of the coming of the Lord, at the refreshing of the Lord. How important that is that we understand that. Let's go to 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter. Now I'm going to read the 9th verse. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but His long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He was doing the best He can that we would come to repentance. That we would come to that repentance. That we would seek Him. That we would come to that knowledge. That we would come to that understanding. Let's go to the 11th chapter of Acts and the 18th verse. When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. That God also granted unto them, it's granted unto all mankind. But you know, it's just like anything else. I can tell you that you can say, I'm hungry and I can have an apple here. And I can say, well, here, come up and have an apple. No, I don't want it. He has placed repentance before us to give us a chance to repent, to give us a chance to prepare ourselves for the reception of Christ, to prepare ourselves. But it's up to you and I to take it. You and I have a right to reject it and refuse it and not have anything to do with it. That's up to us. Let's go to the 3rd chapter of Acts, 19th verse. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Repent. He's saying that again. We're saying that again, that we repent, that we do that, that we get ourselves in order, that we place ourselves in that position to where that we can repent and that we can put ourselves in a position that we so order our life that the cleansing blood of the Lamb can cleanse us. That we wouldn't be so dirty and so filthy that His blood couldn't clean us. You know, we can. We can live a life that the blood of the Lamb will not cover us. That's when that mercy doesn't override justice. We can live that kind of life and be lost. We can live that kind of life and be lost. And how important it is for us to realize that we must all together come into the gospel of Christ. We must all come through repentance and baptism. But that's not the only time you repent. You repent throughout the days of your life when you find yourself walking aught to those things that are according to the standard of Christ. That's a day that you should try to change. That's a day that you should do something different. You know, the brother that called me into an office of an elder, it was Brother Jordan, Apostle Jordan, out of Canada. And he took me into my house and he set me down on my couch in the living room and he told me, he says, Hubert, he says, I want to tell you one thing. He says, never drive your stake so deep that when you find they're driven in the wrong place, you can't pull them up and redrive them. That's some of the best advice I've ever had. That's some of the best advice I've ever had. that you don't drive them so deep that you can't do that, that you can't lift them up, that you can't do those things. I want to go to the fifth chapter of Acts. Fifth chapter of Acts, and I want to go to, I'm going to read 29 through 31. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." They will tell them, "You can't preach anymore. You can't do that. We're going to throw you in prison. You go down preaching. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hung on the tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be the Prince and the Savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin." That he was raised to give that, to give us. And he will, if you and I, with that real intent of heart, if you and I come to him in that manner, if we come seeking and to know that his will must be done, and it must be done in our lives, not our will, but his, that it's supposed to be done in that way, and that it's essential that we repent and come unto him. I'm going to read the second chapter of Romans, the fourth verse. "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Isn't that what we said in the beginning? That it was godly, what? Yeah. It was godly. It's a godly sorrow. In other words, we're really sorrowful that we have gone and have done just exactly that. That we have violated that law. That we have done those things. I want us to go over to page 763 in your Book of Mormon. I'm going to read the eighth verse. This is when those who had violated the law was taken before the elders of the church. And the eighth verse says, "And if they repented not and confessed not, their names were blotted out, and they were not numbered among the people of Christ. But as oft as they repented and sought forgiveness with real intent, they were forgiven." That is off as they repented, as off as they came with real intent, they were forgiven. You know, sometimes that repentance that we want God to give us, sometimes it's hard for us to give to others. Sometimes it's hard for us to do just exactly that. I'd like to go over to page 284. In your Book of Mormon. And I'm going to read 137 through 140. "Therefore I say unto you, go, and whosoever transgresseth against me, him shall ye judge according to the sins which he hath committed. And if he confesses his sins before thee and me, and repenteth in the sincerity of his heart, him shall ye forgive, and I will forgive him also. Yea, and as oft as my people repent, will I forgive them their trespasses against me. And ye shall also forgive one another your trespasses, for verily I say unto you, he that forgiveth not his neighbor's trespasses, when he says that he repents, the same hath brought himself under condemnation." That we seek through repentance that God will forgive us. And he tells us that you and I are to forgive one another. If we didn't have forgiveness within the body of Christ, what kind of a church do you really think that we'd have? People would come in here not speaking to one another, sitting down, scowl. What kind of body could you bring your children to? What is it that you want to bring an outsider or a neighbor to somebody where they're just nothing but just hassle? Or is the Church of Christ supposed to be a house and forgiveness one to another? Without that, how do you expect to say that we're of the Lord and that we're following after the Lord, yet we can't forgive? Yet we can't forgive another. How do you do that? How do you do that? It doesn't work. And so as a result, it's important that we come to the knowledge. I'd like to go to the third chapter, to the third book of Nephi, fifth chapter. The 107th verse. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That gets pretty serious. That gets pretty serious. That gets really right down to the bare fact of what the Lord requires of us and what He thinks. I'd like to have you go over to the 17th chapter of Luke. And in the 17th chapter of Luke, I'm going to read 3 and 4. Take heed to yourself. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Doesn't leave much room, does it? It doesn't leave much room for God's children to not have the charity that my brother talked about this day and the attributes of that charity. You know, it doesn't take long to realize that without that charity, we're in trouble. Aren't we glad that God's got charity? Because He forgives us when we truthfully repent. When we come to Him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. It's important that we realize that. I want to go to the 4th chapter of Ephesians. I want to read the 29th through the 32nd verse. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one for another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. How important that is. How important that is. And you know, I think we find out that as we go along that if we do something that's wrong, we would like to be forgiven. We would like to be forgiven. And how important it is that that's so. We are supposed to, and I'm not going to have time, I'm not going to it, we're supposed to invite people to come to the body of Christ, not run them away. Number one, the gospel of Christ is for all mankind. He's not selective. when it comes, if a person will repent and come unto Him. How important it is, even in the Holy Sacrament, He tells us that there are those who have not been baptized, that you don't throw them out from among you, but you allow them to be with you and you minister unto them. That's our work. That's our heritage. That's the work of the gospel of Christ, is to minister unto those individuals that they might learn the gospel of Christ and follow after those things that's essential for their soul's welfare. And you and I, as a body of Christ, should be willing and ready to tell anybody why we have the hope that's within us, not run them out. Not run them out. But to teach them and pray for them. That's our work. Is to teach them and pray for them. How important that is. That's the charity that he talks about that we should pray for in these last days. In these last days. And so as we come, I'm going to close because my time is going. But I want to tell you something. You know, I can't always read your mind or your heart unless the Lord reveals it to me. But I know one thing, that if you think, or if I think, that I'm doing just fine, and I really know that I'm not, you better know that you might not see it, but the Lord does. He sees it. He knows your very thoughts. Where are your thoughts now? He knows your very thoughts. He knows what you think. He knows what you say. He knows what goes on, whether you're in a house or whether you're down at the barn or wherever you're at. He knows your thoughts. And it's important that our thoughts would be centered in God's thoughts, that they would be centered into the welfare of the souls of the children of men. How important that is. How important it is for us to be awake and alert and to study and to seek and to know the law of God and recognize when things come into our life that perhaps we should maybe weed them out and repent of them, that we would have the strength through God to be able to do just exactly that, is to weed them out and to be what He would have us to be. And that is righteous, bearing fruit of righteousness.
Let's turn to 361 for our closing song. Head with me in a word of prayer. Our most kind and most loving Father, again, we approach Thy holy throne to give You thanks for the many blessings of life. I pray now, Father, at the close of this day, that You'd go with us, that You'd keep us safe, that you'd strengthen us and help us, Father, in our walk of life as we desire to make those changes that are necessary in our life, that we might be able to come unto Thee in full purpose of heart and be cleansed by Thy Spirit and by the blood of Thy Son. Oh, Father, I do pray that You would walk with us now through the remainder of this week, and that You would keep us safe and You'd be mindful of our loved ones wherever they may be. And I pray this in the blessed name of Thy Son, even Jesus Christ. Amen.